When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Throwing it down to Twisted Tuesday has begun, and the craziness in the League's Cup continues. We've got a close one, and we've got a game in which one team is starting to pull away, and it's both good news. LAFC starting to dial it up a notch in League's Cup play right now, up 3-0 on Real Salt Lake. We've got a same-game parlay with LAFC to win, and LAFC, Real Salt Lake over 2.5. It was a slow start. We were a little bit concerned whether we were going to get there. We have gotten there. 3-0 LAFC right now, late in that soccer match. Meanwhile, the Tigre and Monterrey, an all-Mexican League matchup, a big-time matchup in which we discussed before the match, in which the last time, five times these two teams have played, they never went over 2 goals. All right? We expected a defensive battle, and we're in on this. We've got the under in the game. We got the in-game under. We've got the over corner kicks in the game, and we got Monterrey to advance parlayed with the under in the same game parlay. And, man, these games have been crazy tonight, all right? Like, penalty kicks and, like, crazy comebacks. Minnesota United has advanced. They were up 2-0 on Toluca, and Toluca scores 2 late goals. And they tie it. They go to penalty kicks. Minnesota wins. The Canadian goalkeeper, St. Clair, between the pipes for Minnesota. Nashville survived tonight. Like, wild stuff, man. It was basically like they were all going on at the same time. I was like, what? No. 4th minute to the 99th minute in a Nashville game. There were 4 goals scored from the 78th minute on in the game. It was basically like Club America took a lead with 2-1 in the 96th minute. It was like, yeah, this game's over. It's done. And I'm watching penalty kicks in another in the Minnesota game. And the announcers go, well, looks like Club America are moving on. They just took a 2-1 lead in the 96th minute. And then I see, and I'm like, damn, I bet the draw in that game, son of a. I'm like, really? It was 1-1. I was going, I bet the draw. And why are you guys adding 9-10 minutes of extra time, man? And then, boom. Somehow Nashville scores, and then Nashville scores again, and Nashville wins the penalty kicks. Yeah, it's absolute insanity. We got more of it. We'll track it, and I'm sure there's going to be high drama here between the Tigres and Monterrey. LAFC up 3-0. The other LA teams, well, it's a clean sweep so far for LA. LA Dodgers are up 4-0 on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Dodgers are on a tear right now. Meanwhile, the Angels have lost 7 straight games. The Angels haven't won a baseball game since the trade deadline. They have a 7-5 lead right now, but as Dave Mustaine of Megadeth once said, so far, so good, so what? Whatever. We've seen the Angels blow a lot of leads during this losing streak. So 7-5 for the Halos right now at the bottom of the 8th inning. We'll track that. The Mariners are beating San Diego 2-0 in the top of the 9th inning. There's 2 out. They're about to win this baseball game. We're on the Mariners. Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustler, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Twisted Tuesday has begun. Welcome to the Rage, the late night anger management class. Sirius XM Channel 159 of the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. A lot of stuff to break down this evening. We've got a full house. Frank Schwab will step up and in from Yahoo Sports. Andrew McKinnix from Wager Talk kicks it with us. We'll talk CFL football, best bets, NFL preseason, and more with McKinnis. Tony Finn throws it down with a straight for the straight Las Vegas, Nevada area, 51 style. We'll talk some Major League Baseball with Tony. Let's start off on the diamond. The Los Angeles Dodgers are up 4-0 late on the Arizona Diamondbacks as the Dodgers are on a tear right now, beating up on division opponents. Meanwhile, the Angels haven't won a game since the trade deadline. They traded for all these dudes. They gave up like 8 of their top prospects, and they haven't won a game since. So it doesn't seem like they have any Angels in the outfield with them in all actuality, but they have a 7-5 lead right now. But anybody that watches any of the Angels games or bets on Angels games knows that 7-5, man, well, you know, this game is far from done. The Angels haven't won this game yet. San Diego, we thought they were in tough after losing 3 of 4 to the Los Angeles Dodgers. At some point, you know, you're going to break. At some point, you're going to say, you know what, this just isn't our year, and it seems to me like San Diego are sort of on the ropes right now, and the fact of the matter is, Seattle are a hot baseball team, right? The Seattle Mariners had one of the best months in baseball, along with the Baltimore Orioles, actually, in the month of July, and it's kind of continued into August. People just don't notice when the Seattle Mariners win baseball games, but they just won the baseball game. Absolute insanity in this Leafs Cup. It's not just messy, man. This Leafs Cup has been awesome. Like, I was seriously like, what the hell are you talking about? We're shutting the MLS down for a month. For what? For the Women's World Cup? I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we shutting the league down for? Well, I'm glad that we did shut the league down because the Leafs Cup has been more entertaining than the actual MLS has been. LAFC up 3-0. In the 72nd minute right now, the Tigres and Monterey scoreless in the 94th minute. We got penalty kicks around the corner. Let's do this thing. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Well, we were just saying, right on cue, about how lit this Leafs Cup has been. And about the craziness. So Monterey and the Tigres, Liga MX, obviously rivals. No love lost between these two teams. Playing each other head-to-head in Houston, right? On a neutral field in Houston. The crowd is insane. Like, dude, it's like there's not an empty seat in the house here. Like, this is seriously. The crowd is lit. It's nil-nil. We're on the under. I got the under 1.5, actually. There better not be another goal in a minute here. I took the in-game under 1.5. But we're on, and if you tune in to Game Time Decisions tonight, I was pretty adamant. I said Monterey qualifies, and it stays under the number, and we're getting a nice plus 200 on this thing. And it was about to go to penalty kicks, and I was thinking, you know what? We lost one bet in penalty kicks tonight, and we won one bet in penalty kicks tonight. So we'll see what happens. With this one, yet Monterey just got a penalty kick. It didn't go to penalty kicks. They got a penalty kick in the 96th minute. It was kind of, you know, not the best way to decide a game at this point, but they just converted on the penalty kick in the 97th minute. We're into the 99th minute right now of 7 minutes of extra time, but we did just have a penalty kick, so add another 2-3 minutes. So, and I'm telling you right now, anyone who's watching this, I'm expecting these guys to start fighting after this game is over. I haven't seen one Mexican team lose gracefully besides Toluca tonight. Toluca were pretty cool after. Like, they didn't. Like, Pumas started a brawl with Montreal after. The Tigres and Vancouver got into it. The Tigres, one dude on the Tigres just stormed off the pitch. And you're going into the room. The game's not even over yet. The refs are telling the Tigre dudes to chill out. This is fun stuff. I'm loving this League's Cup. And I'm especially loving it because we're killing it. LAFC, baby, same game parlay, over 2.5. Monterey to qualify, under 2.5. Let's roll. Let's bring in Andrew McInnes right now. Talk some CFL football, NFL football, maybe a little NHL hockey as it's rapidly approaching. There was a trade the other day. How you doing, McInnes? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Gabe, good to be here, man. Exciting time right now in the world of sports, man. Looking forward to NFL season.
So happy birthday. I understand you just turned 50. Is that true?
I think I know where this is going, but that is not true.
No, okay. I was just wondering because I saw you posting pictures of you playing pickleball tonight. I was just wondering about that.
It's a fun game, man. Don't knock it till you try it.
Did you go see the movie Barbie and then play pickleball after tonight? Like, what's going on here, McInnes? Hey, listen, I'm not calling anyone out for going to see the movie. But pickleball, maybe I'm missing out. So what's this? Is this like you and your girlfriend play pickleball together against other couples? Or are you on the pickleball scene and you kicking ass against other dudes? Like, what's going on with this?
No, she was at Barbie with her friend, actually, while I play with my buddies.
See, that's amazing, isn't it? I'm like a PI. I'm like, see, Barbie, pickleball, I'm on top of everything.
This is how it goes. See, like, it's nice to play new games like this, Gabe, because it's an even playing field, right? So all my buddies and I grew up playing different sports, whether it's hockey, soccer, basketball, volleyball, whatever it might be. This is a new sport. So when we all started playing this, we start on the exact same spot.
Even level, so you're saying. No one has an advantage. Oh, you used to play when you were a kid, right? You were in a league whatever.
Yeah, 100%. So there's nobody can say anything to each other. We all start at the exact same time. It's super competitive. Anything my friends and I do is really competitive. So it's good. And it's crazy, man. Like, if you go around, I mean, I can only speak for where I live, but anywhere where there was tennis courts, I feel like those tennis courts, it's all been cut in half now. Yeah, like, and tennis courts are pretty much like 50% eliminated now, and pickleball is the new thing.
You know what? I guess it is a good cardio workout, right? You get your heart going, you get the heart rate going. So what's the deal? Like, and I got to be honest, I've never played pickleball before. I'm in the minority of things. And what did I tell you guys about a fight? What, did you see what I tell you? Did I not just say, I promise you, there's going to be a fight? There's a fight. Except they didn't wait for the game to be over. Oh, no, they're really gone now. Like, it's the Tigres. These guys are a menace to society, okay? Like, I didn't know that I hated a Mexican league team, but I do, all right? I do. Like, whoever the Tigres' enemy is, you're my friend. Oh, here come the bottles and the drinks. People are throwing stuff at them now. It's lit in a... Oh, no, now they're throwing. The Monterey fans are loving it. They're throwing drinks at the Tigres, except they just smoked one of their own players. And the Monterey player just turned around to his fans like, hey, come on, man. He put his hand up. He just got sprayed with a drink. Yeah, number 5 on the Tigres. Did I not call this, guys? I swear, McKenzie, just as you joined us, I said, yeah, this is great. Yeah, the referee just ended the game. Good job, Tigres. You guys are morons. You guys were down 1-0. The ref's like, okay, all hell is broken loose. And what's crazy is the Tigre goalie left the net. Like, they're desperately trying to score. And dude on Monterey, McInnes, I got under 1.5, bro. It's like an empty net goal in hockey. Dude on Monterey, like, drilled it from the other end of the field to the empty net. And it was rolling. It was going in. It was like, oh, my God, no. It's going in. Buddy on the Tigres, like ran as fast as he could, drilled it out of bounds for a corner kick. And then they started fighting in the corner after. I don't know why this ref isn't ending it.
I got to ask your thoughts on this, Gabe. Like, look, I love soccer. I've gotten into it over the past several years. I cheer on certain teams. Of course, I bet the sport. I understand you don't want it to be crowded on the field. That's why there's the main official on the field, the two linesmen, the third official off. He, you know, announces the subs and all that stuff. But don't you think sometimes when there's fights, and I mean, I cover a soccer team locally now. I feel like there needs to be another guy on the field. They're outnumbered out there. It's one guy running up and down around or female.
Yeah, but he's like, got the power of the card.
But Gabe, if a fight breaks out, what's he going to do? I mean, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like, wow. My friends tell me it's because it'd be too crowded if they added somebody else out there, but I don't know, man.
Well, it's sort of like if a bunch of hooligans jump on the pitch, what are they going to do? As we found out in the past, not very much, right? Like you know, man, it's the power of the crowd, man. It's a good point. So the game has come to a close. That was really, really, really crazy at the end, and really cool, especially winning. And I got to tell you guys, dude, like Phil, we hit that Philadelphia same game parlay, Philadelphia to qualify and under, and. The Red Bulls were up 1-0 all night. Like, I had basically given up on it. And Philadelphia scored late, and then they went in penalty kicks. I had Toluca and the over to advance, or both teams to score in Toluca. They were down 2-0. They stormed back to tie 2-2, but then I lost in penalty kicks. This game, like, I bet this game, we won in the 97th minute. The other Nashville game that we bet on, we just talked about, there were four goals, McInnes, from the 78th minute on. Imagine, McInnes, there were three goals from the 90th minute on. Like, it was 1-1. Club America scores in the 96th minute of added time. And they even said, well, it looks like Club America will be advancing. Boom, Nashville scores in the 98th minute, and then they blow the whistle, they go to penalty kicks, and Nashville wins. Like, it's insane tonight, this stuff, soccer. And it's a lot like hockey, bro. These games go to penalty kicks, guys. There's no extra time either. So after the 90 minutes and a little out of time, we're going to penalty kicks, and a lot of these games are going to penalty kicks. We're really enjoying this Leagues Cup, and we crushed it tonight. No women's 4-0 LAFC right now. No Women's World Cup tonight. We get back after it tomorrow in the with the quarterfinals. But we do have CFL football, NFL football, and what else have you been betting? Have you been betting on baseball this week, McInnes?
Yeah, I've been betting baseball a decent amount, but I'll tell you what, I the more I lower my volume, the better I do, kind of one or two plays a day. Today I had the Braves team total, and I got there late in the game, so I was happy with that result.
Yeah, it's like me. I only have like one play, one or two plays per inning, per game. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager? Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in three rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Oh, yeah, the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Andrew McInnes kicking with us from Wager Talk. Tony Finn, one of his colleagues, will join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Frank Schwab will join us from Denver, Colorado tonight. We'll talk some Colorado Buffalo football, some NFL preseason football, Green Bay Packer football, and more. NFL win totals and more tonight with Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. So, McInnes, you were just talking about, listen, selection is good and not having too many plays. You know, I've said this, I've been around a long time, and I remember many, 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 many moons and years ago, in a previous life, somebody said, it's all relative, right? And it really is. Like, you could, you know, the $20,000 better, the $200 better, the $20 better, it means the same to everybody, depending on, you know, what your budget is. And also, I find it the one thing, too, and it's more now, McInnes, than ever. People used to be more like, man, like, what do you do? How are you winning? Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, really. Yeah, like, I want to try that. And nowadays, people wouldn't listen if you told them, you know what I mean? If you gave them the final score before the game. Everyone thinks they know everything now. And they're not open to different ways, right? And they think their way, even though their way is not working, right? But they think their way works. So where I'm going with this is, you know what I mean? I don't ridicule the parlay player. I don't ridicule the money line player, the teaser player, the underdog player. There's a lot of different ways you can approach things, right? There's people that they only play underdogs, right? They play underdogs. I don't play favorites. I only play underdogs. And, you know, and it works for them, right? I only really play overs when it comes to football, college football. It works for me. I don't like debate the over-under. I just look at the 62 games and go, that's going over. This is going over. That's an over, right? I knew a dude before who used to just put like $5,000 every week on a couple of big time chalk college football parlays and sort of just grind away and make some money back and build it up and be patient. So whether people bet 20 games or whether you're betting two games or whether you're betting, you know, you're betting one game or you're betting a prop at night, if you're winning, right? Nobody can tell you you're doing it wrong. And don't listen to other people, exactly. Especially there's a lot of people that have no, they're loser sports bettors, or they have no experience in anything. Like COVID was a good example of that, right? Everybody was a medical expert suddenly, McKinnis, right? They have zero exactly. knowledge in it, but they know everything about it because I listen to Joe Rogan and I watch a YouTube show. So I know everything about everything. Like the modern person thinks they know everything about everything instead of just shutting up and then looking and saying, you know what? You can win money doing that. You can win money doing this. You can win money that way. You can win money that way. And you seem to be more open-minded than a lot of other people are.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, it's so nice getting to talk to so many people. And I can only imagine, you know, from your perspective, hosting a show like you do, how many people you speak to where everybody does things differently. It's awesome. Like, I host a hockey show on Wager Talk TV during the year. Everyone that comes on, all cappers from Wager Talk mostly, they all handicap the game differently. Right? I mean, if I came on your show tonight, you and I are both, let's say, are both up $1,000 tonight. Doesn't matter if you had 40 bets and I had two, or if I had, you know, 35 and you had five bets, we both got up to $1,000. Who the hell cares? You know what I mean? Doesn't really matter how we got there. We're up to that same amount. But you talk about people, to me, there's a lack of positivity in the sports gambling community. And I'm not trying to be all Mr. Nice Guy, but just generally, just respecting what someone else is doing. Like for me, a big thing, we have our prop show that we're doing on Wager Talk every Friday. And now this year, we're going to be doing it on Mondays. People are just like, don't respect the prop still as much. I know it's been around for a while now. It's not some new thing. But when I go out to dinner and I spend that money that I made on a prop wager, it doesn't matter that it's from a prop wager, not a side or a total. So to me, it's like, oh, well, this guy, you know, he's good at props, but like he couldn't pick the side play on Sunday Night Football. I don't care, you know? So that's the thing. And when, you know, you always know me, Gabe, when I come on your show and you ask me for a pick or on a game, I try and be prepared for certain things to talk about with you. But you know, whenever you've asked me about something that I do not know about, I don't BS myself. I tell you, Gabe, I don't know. I don't know that game, or I haven't prepared for that question. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know something that I'm not ready for.
Andrew McKinnis kicking it with us right now. And as I stated, so whatever your system is, if it's working, right? If it's working. If it isn't working, then you have to reanalyze things. But if it's working, then just keep doing what you're doing, right? But there's just so many, and as you stated, there's people are just very, very negative. And it's not just sports betting. It's more, nobody really listens. People just sort of talk, right? Even if they know somebody in the room is, but you know, like the saying is, there's a saying, if you're the smartest guy in the room, find another room. But we live in an era right now where everybody thinks they're the smartest guy in the room. You know what I'm saying? And it's just sort of like everyone out talks each other. A good example is like deeper, because they're like the handicapper guys. I could ask Finn about it. Like these dudes used to have like a Tuesday meeting, the Tuesday group. All right. So it was all these legendary handicappers in Vegas. And they would meet every Tuesday. And they would share, you know what I mean? This is why I like this game. This is the best thing. What do you have? What did you hear? They would actually share knowledge and stuff, right? They don't do it anymore because no one really has anything. And or they don't share because I don't want to share it with you. You're going to steal it. You're going to sell it. You know what I mean? It's just there's not the same, you know, it's a different world that we're in. Right now, but let's get into the CFL card, McKinnis, because we got games on Thursday. I remember you really liked the Rough Riders last week, and you were right, good call. So was I. I was on them as well. We drove the CFL last week. We were on everything except the first game. I took the points with BC. I paid the price for it. But we were on the. Everyone thought we were insane. We were on the Calgary Stampeders against the Argos. Everybody thinks Montreal sucks. Well, good. Keep on thinking they suck because you know, they win more than they lose. Montreal wins again, and then Saskatchewan gets it done. The game goes over the number. It was all good, but that's last week. Let's look at this week. The Edmonton Elks have lost 21 consecutive home games, and it won't get any easier this week against the visiting Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Bombers, minus 12.5, total, 45. From what I understand, at least Edmonton are wearing new helmets this week. So maybe, you know, it's like a native flair type thing. So maybe bringing in some native luck or something like that will change their 21-game losing streak. They do have a new offensive coordinator. They should have fired their coach instead of the OC. But what's your pick, McKinnis? 12.5, 45.
Yeah, Gabe, I mean, look, I've told myself, Andrew, you got to start betting on these teams off a bye. You know, I haven't done it enough, and it's been very successful. Do I want to start doing it with this team? Probably not. But I am going to react to the OC change, quarterback change, hopeful to see Trey Ford there behind center. Think he can make a difference. And the Blue Bombers, look, their offense looked smooth as anything last week. I'm like yourself. I had a really great week last week besides the first game of the week, and I'll take that. I'd rather end the week on a good note than end it on a bad note. But I think the Blue Bombers, the thing about them is that they do not mind running the score up. I mean, Buck Pierce, offensive coordinator for the Blue Bombers, doesn't really have mercy. That's all I've known about this guy. He will continue to run the score up on you as much as he wants. And the Blue Bombers, as much as they won the last time they played the Elks, they actually didn't play very well. They came out on top. They didn't play very well. The Elks, they're 2-6, two being two to the over, six being six to the under on the year. I believe that might change. They might start going downfield a little bit more. Hopefully some of the changes the OC makes and new quarterback can make a difference. I like the over in this one. I like the full game, but I think I'm stronger on the over 21.5 in the first half here. Blue Bombers, it feels like every second play, Gabe, they're going 30, 40 yards and connect. Connecting, hopefully with the bye week, if there ever was a time to see something from this Elks team, I think it might be this week. Let's hope we see fireworks here early and often in the first half, over 21.5 points.
Well, that's the thing. If you're a terrible football team, at least lose in an entertaining fashion. You know what I'm saying? Like, they play it safe. Like, they punt and stuff. Like, no, let's not go for it. No, let's, you know what I mean? We're 2 yards short. Let's not go for it. It's like, you know, we've lost 21 home games. Like, we should be going for it every time and just throwing bombs on every play. And that's the talk that they've been talking. We're going to stretch the field. We're going to throw the ball down the field. We're going to let our playmakers try to make plays. I don't know. You have the same head coach, so I don't really blame the coordinator. This is just sort of a scapegoat type of thing. But the play calling did suck. Winnipeg have beaten them 8 straight times, as you stated. So it was 28-14 last time. I'm sort of with you, though. I don't think Winnipeg will let up. And I would expect Edmonton to be more aggressive, which will either work and they'll put some points on the board, or it'll implode and they'll throw interceptions and it'll be short field for Winnipeg. And let's be real, would it surprise you if Winnipeg got into the mid-30s in this game? It wouldn't surprise me.
Not at all. But I'm still going to stick with the first half in case the Bombers start running the ball a lot in the second half.
I don't mind that because Edmonton can't stop the run, so they'll just run the ball down their sorry-ass throats. More with McKinnis on the other side. We'll break down the rest of the card, see if he likes anything in the NFL. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Yeah, well, too bad. This is Sports Rage. I am the loudmouth malcontent. Andrew McKinnis kicking with us. So we're talking about the Bombers owning the Elks. 6-2 ATS last eight. They've won the last eight outright as well. Me and McKinnis both think this game can get there to the low total of 45. So that's on Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Friday night, the Rough Riders and the Alouettes. The Alouettes lay 4.5 points in this football game. And Montreal's been good to me. And I've had a good I've been dialed in with this football team. And people, they've had a chip on their shoulder. I knew that they did. I knew they were better than people thought they were. I knew their defense was going to be very competitive and aggressive. They've got some very good skill position players. I did question the quarterback play, right? And Cody Fajardo has played a lot better than a lot of people thought he was going to. And he's been a pretty good CFL quarterback over the years, but he's been around for a while, and now you just sort of figured, all right, so we're one of these journeyman deals here, not really going anywhere, just sort of, he's just a guy, you know what I mean, just sort of a stopgap guy type of thing. The Rough Riders didn't want him anymore, but he's playing good football. Yeah, he misses some passes. He's not perfect, but he game manages the game enough. They're winning football games. The only games they lost this year, bro, were to BC in BC, to Toronto and to Winnipeg. Not bad, right? They lost to the three best teams in the league, and they haven't lost to anybody else. So now they get the Rough Riders. My question to you is, though, I've just bigged them up. But now they got to win. Now they got to win by 5 points, which is a little bit different than the situations they've been in, covering point spreads and or in pick'ems. What do you think of this game on Friday night?
Gabe, excuse me. I think the CFL is a really good sport for the kind of the buy low, sell high situations, right? And I think that I'm not discrediting what the Alouettes have done, but they've kind of defeated the teams they should, and they've lost to the teams you probably expect them to lose to. Now, this is kind of, in my opinion, their first game against a middle-of-the-pack team. Nobody really knows what the Rough Riders are. Are they bad?
Well, no, hold on. They beat
okay?
Calgary.
Are they good?
They beat Calgary as well.
Calgary beat Calgary. I don't think Montreal beat Calgary. You know what I mean?
Well, they beat him 25-17 or whatever, so they beat him.
Cody Fajardo, 158 passing yards through the air. Jake Mayer, 256 yards. Mayer had two interceptions. You can go through the stats. Calgary beat Calgary. The score sheet says Montreal beat them, but all I'm saying is I wasn't impressed by it.
The reality says they beat them. I watched that game. Okay. Calgary were never in that game.
No,
Calgary,
of course not.
Calgary are also...
My whole point,
like,
Gabe, is that
they were 1-7. Yeah. No, but all right. No, but I'm just stating that Montreal has played, like, they haven't just beaten, like, the terrible teams. They've beaten everybody except the top three.
No, of course. And so my whole point and kind of the way that you introed me into this now is that we get to a point where paying points and not just a field goal. We're seeing 4, 4.5, you know, different numbers and things like that. I just think it's too much. And then you throw in the fact that Cody Fajardo wasn't at practice today. William Stanback's banged up. I saw a quote from Jason Moss saying, if I was a betting man, here we are talking about betting, I'd bet on Cody playing. But Cody Fajardo is always a guy that seems to be scrambling around anyway. And if I have him scrambling around and he's a little bit injured, I don't really want to deal with that. Rough Riders, the only thing that, like I said, that really bothers me with them is kind of their scheduling. They've been all over the country recently, and that can definitely take a toll on teams. I do like getting the 4 points here with the Rough Riders, but I think that the Rough Riders are actually a sneaky over team. So I'm going to give you back-to-back overs here. I think that this game could get up and over. The Owls do have talent. Like I said, I am worried about Fajardo and his protection and stuff like that. But you look at the amount of yards and what Mason Fine's able to do, but then his defense constantly lets him down. He makes a big drive, you know, marches the field for a touchdown, and then easily his defense will give up seven. He has to go back out and do it again. So between his turnovers, between his team and everything that they come with, I feel like the Rough Riders are really good at shooting themselves in the foot. They cannot play a simple game. They'll be in it, but I believe it will be a high-scoring game.
Andrew McKinnis kicking with us. Montreal laying 4.5 points, totals 44.5. The CFL on CBS Sports Network schedule, the Thursday night game at 9 o'clock Eastern, the Blue Bombers and the Elks is being broadcast. Friday night's game is not, between Saskatchewan and Montreal. I believe it's a WNBA night for CBS Sports Network. And then Saturday's game is the Calgary Stampeders and the BC Lions, which you could argue will be the most entertaining of the three games this week. The BC Lions lay 6 points in this game. Another low total here, McKinnis. Look at the totals this week. 45, 44.5, and 45.5. 45.5 in this Calgary and BC game.
It's unbelievable, really, after that 1 week where the overs went 4-0. Since then, again, the unders have just been a major play here. Certainly been some line movement on this game. Early numbers, we saw minus fives. Now we're seeing as high as 6.5s. But again, this to me is another example in the CFL where I'm not saying it's just an automatic wager, but you take a look at a team that's coming off a tough loss, take a look at a team coming off an exciting win, and I think it's a buy low and a sell high situation here. Whether it's Dane Evans, whether it's Vernon Adams Jr., I think that this is a BC team that bounces back in a big way. Lions 5-0 ATS, their last five games following an ATS loss, 5-0 ATS following a straight up loss. They're 5-0 ATS, their last six home, 5-0-1, their last six home games. This is a team that I just trust. I take a look at them before last week's loss. They scored a combined 81 points over three games while giving up just 28. To me, I just think they're a little more dangerous. Their defense plays a huge factor, and I'm not trying to make excuses without giving credit to Calgary, because Calgary's a team that I've been following quite closely, but obviously, Chad Kelly, you know, leaving the game for Toronto is a big deal for them. And a lot of people think they actually have the least amount of quarterback depth in the league when they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So that definitely hurt them in a big way. And I think that as much as they kind of made some, you know, strides in the right direction, BC is a team that knows how to bounce back in a big way. And that game just got away from them against the Bombers. They're back at home where they play good football. I'm going to take them and lay the points with them.
I would look for this game to be pretty high scoring. Vernon Adams is expected to be back. He's taken reps with the first team, or at least he has. He started to this week. I think he could have played last week, but it was a route and it got away from them. So, as you stated, BC have been very good at bouncing back off of losses. They've been a very, you know, they're a very good football team, and they've been blown out twice this year. It's one of these deals where they got punched in the mouth twice. But they're still 6-2 straight up, 5-2-1 against the spread. They are 5-3 to the under on the season because their defense was so good. But we saw last week their defense got lit up. And I think, and listen, it doesn't mean they're going to get lit up every week, but I guarantee you Dave Dickinson, who's a Hall of Famer, college, collegiate, and CFL, he will be a CFL and, you know, college NCAA Hall of Famer, he's a smart dude. So there, he's going to know, he's going to see, you know what I mean, this is where we're going to attack them. I would expect there to be some points in this game. I think 45.5 is light. I'm going to smash the over this game, McKinnis. And, you know, it's 6.5, so it sets up nicely for a 7-point teaser, right? Get the BC Lions down to plus half a point, and then a little insurance at over 38.5. I'm going to take a look and see what it pays right now, but BC Lions money line, so we don't have to worry about a backdoor cover or whatever, because I think it could be close that game. And then to the over, I'm going to take a look at that, but you think BC roll them, right?
I do. I will say, though, I'm with you as far as the Stampeders and points. I mean, you look at their games. They've actually, like I said, I've been following them closely. They've been one of the more fun teams to watch this year, Gabe. You know, their two games they played against the Rough Riders, that unbelievable game they had against the Red Blacks. I mean, they've gone toe-to-toe with some teams, and it's gone down to the wire. I don't really think they're lacking offense as much as it's their defense. You put these two defenses together, who do you want? You know, and for me, it's an obvious answer off a loss. It's BC.
I don't dispute that. For the record, BC Lions money line total 45.5 to the over is +168. So, or you could tease it, and that would be -130. You'd have BC basically needs to win the game and over 38.5, and or you go BC just to win the game and the over at +168. I'm going to do them both, but because I do think BC win this game, I do think Calgary are playing better football right now. It wouldn't shock me if it was a little, you know, if they traded points a bit here. Weather will not be a factor in Vancouver at BC Place. It'll be a beautiful night. So, yeah, I'm expecting a track meet, McInnes. I'm expecting some points in this game. Only 3 games this week. That sucks. It's too bad. We've been doing so well. I wish there was more.
Only 3 games.
I don't count the Elks. The Elks and the Edmonton Elks don't count. Talking about going into the weekend after, right? You know, going into the weekend. But, no, I like the way the schedule has been spread out this year.
Smart.
It's one thing I'll give them credit, actually. Like, in the past, it didn't make a lot of sense what they did. It actually does. And then finally, in closing, Ottawa and Toronto, the Toronto Argonauts, who were undefeated, now 6-1 on the season. Argonauts are laying 4 points without Chad Kelly in the lineup. It was 10.5. That was the opening number. It's sitting at 4 right now. Red Blacks coming off that heartbreaking back-to-back losses now, the Red Blacks.
Gabe, I got to be completely honest with you here. I'm kind of confused because open up at 10.5, and when I keep referencing these openers, I guess I do it mostly in the CFL just to let people kind of know where things are going and things. But then it goes to 3.5, and we're seeing it now. And then all the indications from these trusted CFL sources are saying that he will start in their game.
And another thing is, too, McInnes, nobody ever really got a chance to bet that 10.5. That was sort of the projected number. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
No one posted the 10.5. It was off the board, bro. So I think they're saying it would have been 10.5, and now it's 3.5, 4, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, if you did, good for you. It would suck if Toronto still wins by 11. But when I look at this game, I think it's a good example that Red Blacks, I mean, what else do they have to do to prove to people that they will not go away in games, Gabe? That's one thing about this team. They will not go away. You know, they're a second half team. They're a live bet type of team, I think. They're a live over type of team. You can see them in some exciting games. But Toronto, you know, in the game that they're coming off of, their defense did not look strong, man. And I think that with Chad Kelly, if he's not at 100%, he won't be escaping the pocket as much. Maybe they're not going as deep as much. They have 2 of the best running backs in the league. You know, as much as I think the Red Blacks play these high-scoring games and they're fun to watch and it's hard not to bet the overs with them, I actually think this one could be an under, and the total is low for a reason. This is a pretty low total, man, when I look at it, but I wanted to bring something else up, which will probably segue us into something else. Argos and Ravens, Baltimore Ravens, 2-team moneyline parlay that pays +115. We all know about the Ravens, what they can do. If you don't want to lay the points, lay the number there with the Argonauts. You want them to just win for you. Here you go, +115. That time of year, Gabe, cross-sport parlays, Ravens and Argos.
I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming, McInnes. Well done. And what about your Green Bay Packers against the Cincinnati Bengals? The Bengals are a terrible preseason team, man. They're really bad. And their quarterback depth is terrible. They're signing guys off the street just to take reps. We'll wrap up with McInnes on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're going to wrap things up with Andrew McInnes, who caught us off guard. I like it, though. I like where he's going with this. Said the Toronto Argonauts parlayed with the Baltimore Ravens. And we'll, you know, last week we had the Hall of Fame game, so there's only two teams playing. But now it gets real. Everybody's playing this week, and we'll remind everybody that the Baltimore Ravens have not lost a preseason game since 2015, and Coach John Harbaugh is 43-12 in his career as a head coach in the preseason, which is just incredible. Guy has coached in 55 NFL preseason games, and his teams have won 43 of them. So, McInnes, I brought up the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. And you look at the Bengals' depth chart, especially at the quarterback position, it's very thin. And you look at Zach Taylor, guys. Zach Taylor, 3-7. 3-7 in the preseason straight up. I think the Packers win as well, along with the Baltimore Ravens, bro. And Moneyline Parlay together is plus 110.
I like it. A lot of things you just said there. I mean, Cincinnati, they're kind of one of those teams I have circled for a team that does not really care about the preseason. They want to go into the regular season healthy. That's all they want to do. You know, maybe later on, a couple weeks into the preseason, they'll start, you know, running some first stringers and things. But Green Bay, they want to start things off on a good note, I think. And as you stated, they're not as deep as people think. You know, some of these good teams are good because they have depth, and some of these good teams are good because their starters are great and they aren't as great, you know, second and third stringers. So I'll take Green Bay, and I'm thinking about the first half for them as well, just when we're more so looking at those guys getting their, you know, their first few reps, you know, a regular play.
Hey, listen, you know, this is a secret, so this is just for people tuning in. I almost don't want to talk about it, but, bro, you know who's going to be playing in this football game? Alex Magoo, bro. Alex Magoo, the MVP of the USFL. This guy's going to light it up. He's going to be a preseason stud. Don't tell anybody. Alex Magoo, he's a stud. It was a great move by the Packers to sign this guy. I don't know what the hell the Arizona Cardinals were doing and not signing him, or the Raiders. Thanks, McInnes.
Thanks, Gabe.